so many people put aside their own joy and fulfillment because they are so stressed out and worried about what everyone else needs, that that's actually not self-care. So self-care can be something like taking off a day to go do something fun, taking breaks when feeling overwhelmed, like you have nothing to prove.
Welcome to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. I'm Ray Ann Mullins, your guide on this quest to a vivacious life. Join me as we uncover the keys to ditch inflammation, conquer fatigue, and stride confidently towards a harmonious, health-filled existence. This podcast is your compass to a balanced and fit lifestyle. So get ready to elevate your wellness game and embrace the vibrant, high-quality life that you deserve. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. It's Ray Ann, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. You know, last week I felt like it was kind of a heavy conversation, right? So this week we're going to go just a little bit lighter with a couple of concepts that I think you're going to understand pretty quickly and probably already have an opinion about. So let's just jump right in. Today we are going to be talking about the difference between self-care and self-comfort. Okay, so both are very important aspects of taking care of ourselves, but they serve slightly different purposes and involve different activities. So let's break down the difference between self-care and self-comfort, and I'll give you some examples too. So first of all, self-care involves activities and practices, right, habits that contribute to your overall physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And I would even say relationships, financial situations, everything. Self-care, as you know, is my passion in all different ways. So we know that when we have good self-care, that a lot of things work better in our life. So self-care absolutely involves taking care of our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. It also focuses on nurturing oneself and maintaining your health, okay? Actual like physical health and mental health. But like I just said, it spills into and kind of cycles into all aspects of your life. So the thing about self-care is that it requires effort and discipline, and it may involve activities that just aren't really that exciting or pleasurable, but we know are beneficial in the long run. So also we know that self-care helps in reducing stress, preventing burnout, and promoting resilience. So all really good, important things and why self-care is important. So what are like some examples? Okay, so when I say self-care, most of these are probably coming to your mind, but let's just say them. So first of all, regular exercise. Okay. We know that exercise is absolutely critical for us. And so what that means to you, like what kind of exercise, whatever, like whatever you like, just do it. Okay. I know that we really need to be working on strength training because we really, really need to be building muscle. Like I cannot stress that enough. So lifting weights, walking, just moving your body is a major form of self-care, okay? And we need to be doing it, okay? Second one is eating a balanced and nutritious diet. This means, you know, nourishing our body, taking care of our body, and sometimes doing things, picking foods that maybe don't sound the best in the moment, but we know are good for us, at least including them into our diet. Broccoli comes to mind. It's not my favorite, but I eat it. Practicing mindfulness and or meditation and breath work. We, for our self-care, we need to be working on mindfulness. That truly leads to quality of life. That truly leads to managing our stress. It truly leads to better health. So I include meditation and breath work in here because we know that we need to get out of our head. We've got to get out of our head so that we can rest our body, so that we can recover well, so that we can be our best. That also includes getting enough sleep, right? So self-care is getting enough sleep, which means having a bedtime routine, which means going to bed even if you'd rather watch one more episode of Netflix, right? Maybe you're just obsessed with, you know, some kind of series and you just can't wait to see the next episode. And so you give up another hour of sleep just to see it. Okay. Self-care would be like knowing that sleep is more important than watching the next episode. Okay. That is an example. Setting boundaries and saying no when needed is absolute self-care. And it's really interesting. I didn't mean to talk about this, but around setting boundaries, you know, a lot of people feel worried about setting boundaries. For a long time, I was so worried about it because I felt like I was being rude if I said no to something, or if, you know, if somebody wanted help with something and I knew that it wasn't something I wanted to do or could do my best at, I always felt really bad saying no because I didn't want to hurt the person's feelings. But I've had a really in detail conversation about this recently, and I'm realizing and have realized for a while, but it's even more like ingrained in my head now, that by saying no, we're actually continuing to have a better relationship with the people you're setting boundaries with. Because if you constantly say yes when you really mean no, eventually there's going to be resentment, and eventually that relationship may actually end on bad terms. So it's much better to set a boundary and say no when needed and really stick to your boundaries. That is true self-care. Also, self-care includes seeking therapy or counseling or coaching when you're facing challenges. When we are doing things on our own, and it's not working out, and we just keep beating ourselves up over and over and over and doing the same thing that's not working anymore, that is not self-care. Okay. Self-care would be like putting aside your ego, putting aside what you know, and getting help. And I recently did this. I actually have a nutrition and like coach now too, that's helping me. And even though it's like something that I feel like I know a lot about, I was really struggling making the answers or finding answers for myself. So I put aside my ego, put aside what I know, and I'm seeking out help. So to me, that was a really big step towards self-care. And maybe you need that too. Okay. Engaging in hobbies or activities that bring joy and fulfillment. Now, that might sound like self-comfort, but so many people are so busy working hard that they don't actually take time to engage in things like hobbies. Maybe it's art, maybe it's riding a horse, maybe it's going, I don't know, on vacation, whatever. So many people put aside their own joy and fulfillment because they are so stressed out and worried about what everyone else needs, that that's actually not self-care. So self-care can be something like taking off a day to go do something fun. Taking breaks when feeling overwhelmed, like you have nothing to prove, right? I think in our last episode, we talked about self-pressure, how so many times we put so much pressure on ourselves. So self-care then would be taking a break when you're feeling overwhelmed, taking a break from the self pressure, taking a break from constantly feeling like you have to be number one and to get things done all the time. That is self-care. Another thing you can do for self-care is to journal. I think it's probably one of the best medicines out there. Just simply taking pen to paper and writing out how you feel, you know, working through things that you've been through the day, recalling conversations, being curious about your feelings and being curious about, you know, why you're constantly wanting to drink wine, or why you're constantly seeking out sugar, or why you want to punch somebody in the face. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything else. But anyway, journaling and self-reflection is, I think, one of the top self-care things you can do. And then one more would be like practicing good hygiene. Okay. Please brush your teeth. Please take a shower. Things like that. Grooming habits. Those are all self-care. And I joke about that one a little bit. I giggled, you know, I'm like, oh, practice, you know, please brush your teeth, all that. But, you know, if you look around, if you've been in public lately, I think there's a lot of people that don't take that one very seriously. And I think that they should. So just saying, no judgment, but just saying. All right. And hey, by the way, speak of journaling, it's a great way, like I said, to get frustrations out. It's also a great way to see like how you're progressing. Okay. It's also a great way to check off habits or to get things off your chest or to make a to-do list for tomorrow so you can go to sleep. So if you haven't already gotten a new, my new habit journal, it's on Amazon. I will link it in the show notes, but please consider it. I think it's great. You know, you fill it out in the morning with some intentions for the day and some gratitude, and then you come back in the evening and kind of check off the habits you've done and also write out anything that's on your mind or what's changed through the day so that you can get good sleep. It's something I made for myself, and so I decided to just make it available to anybody and everybody. So if you want to, check it out. Okay, so that was all self-care stuff. Okay, remember, self-care is like doing the things we know are best for us, even if they're not, you know, super pleasurable in the exact moment. Okay. Now, self-comfort involves activities or behaviors that provide immediate relief or are soothing in times of distress or discomfort. Okay. It's like, it's taking care of yourself in the moment to feel better. Okay. So it's not just immediate relief of like exercise. So let's say maybe you're exercising and you're breathing really hard and your chest is burning because your cardio is suffering. You know, stopping in the moment is definitely self-comfort, but also something like, you know, taking a shot of tequila because you're stressed out. They're both like self-comfort things. There's something that gives you temporary relief in the moment, okay? Self-comfort activities are often more indulgent or leisure-oriented, aiming just to provide comfort, you know, like to numb or to check out, okay? Or just to physically feel more relaxed, okay? So while self-comfort can be beneficial in moderation, absolutely, relying solely on it without addressing underlying issues can actually hurt your personal growth and development. Okay. And so this is probably a conversation that if you have kids or teenagers, especially, that you've had this conversation before. It's like, yeah, sure, you know, eating ice cream and leaving the dish in your room in the moment is great, but that's just comfort because you're being lazy about taking the dish downstairs and loading it in the dishwasher. So even though that's kind of a weird example, I'm just saying that we all do and want these like comfortable moments, right? And teenagers are a perfect example of not understanding the full consequence to their actions. And so as adults, we get to decide, you know, are we going to be, you know, taking care of ourselves, or are we just going to always be looking for comfort and be like stuck in this box of our comfort zone all the time? All right. So some examples of self-comfort would be watching a favorite TV show or movie. Okay. Taking a warm bath or shower, which by the way, all of these are totally acceptable, right? It's totally acceptable to do every single one of these things. We're just looking for the balance. Indulging in comfort foods and alcohol, though, that's a major one. Cuddling with a pet or, you know, your spouse or whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend. Listening to calming music or, you know, listening to podcasts, stuff like that. Engaging in creative activities like drawing, painting, crafting, or maybe you like to do jigsaw puzzles, or maybe you like to, you know, color or whatever. Reading a book or magazine, spending time in nature, which I think is a really good one because that can be self-care as well. Practicing using scented candles, essential oils, aromatherapy, things like that. And also just giving yourself permission to rest and relax without feeling guilty. These are all self-comfort examples. So while, you know, both self-care and self-comfort are super important, it's more important to find a balance between the two. And when you do find that nice balance between the two, you're going to be able to maintain your overall well-being. And, you know, that's essentially what this entire podcast is about. Balance. This is why I love the balanced, the fit, and the free lifestyle. We get balanced between taking care of the things we need to take care of and the things that, what that would be the self-care, but also we're balancing in being comfortable. Okay. And then the free part is, you know, feeling fit enough and I'm in physical and mental and having that balance and feeling free from all the expectations. So that's kind of what this whole podcast is about, figuring out the difference and finding the balance between self-care and self-comfort. So of course, there's lots of pros to self-care, right? It promotes your overall well-being. Self-care activities contribute to physical, mental, and emotional health, okay, which is going to give you an improved quality of life. It helps build resilience, okay? So it helps us when we take care of ourselves and we really do work on our self-care habits and practices, it helps us cope better with our stress, helps us cope with adversity and challenges that come up. It helps prevent burnout, okay? It increases our self-awareness and it enhances our productivity. So taking time for self-care improves our focus, our concentration, and therefore our productivity, which leads to better performance in all areas of our life, which makes us feel fit and free, okay? The cons to self-care is that it does require discipline, okay? Like establishing and maintaining your self-care routines may require a little more discipline and commitment than you want, which can be really challenging for some people. So this is where a good coach comes in to help you with these areas. It's really nice to have somebody outside of yourself and outside of your family and your immediate family or friends to help you really take an objective look at your life and be like, okay, is this helping you or hurting you? You know, and then you can decide yourself if you agree with the coach or not and, you know, do the new practices. It also, self-care can be time consuming. You know, of course, if you're going to go to therapy or you're going to, you know, schedule a breathwork session or you're going to, you know, meal prep your meals and go to the grocery store or what all that, it's going to take some time. But remember, it's time well spent. Even if in the moment it's not comfortable, it's going to help you in the long term. Now, it may feel uncomfortable initially. Okay. So things like going to therapy, I'm just going to throw that out. I think that's a really important self-care thing. It's going to feel uncomfortable at first, right? And you're not going to want to do it. But as you get doing it more and more and start seeing the results of it, and this would be true of exercise and meal prepping and, you know, going to bed early, when you start to see the benefits, then it gets a little less abrupt or it gets a little less, you know, uncomfortable. So we got to remember though that self-care is not always immediately gratifying. Okay. So once you understand that and understand that just having some patience and persistence is going to help, it will pay off. One more thing that's a con for self-care is that it might cost money. You know, certain self-care resources or services such as a nutrition coach or a gym membership, or a therapist or a breathwork, it all will cost money if you want to get it done and get it done right. Okay. And it may cost more money than you thought it needed to be, which can be really limiting for some individuals. So these are some of the cons, but I would say there's more pros than there are cons. And then with self-comfort, some of the pros are that it provides immediate relief. Okay, self-comfort activities are going to give you that instant soothing relief from stress, anxiety, discomfort, which can help you feel better in the moment. Okay, and that's the whole point. It enhances your emotional well-being. Okay, engaging in comfortable activities boosts your mood and reduces negative emotions, which can promote emotional well-being and relaxation. It builds self-compassion. Okay, practicing self-comfort cultivates this self-compassion. It's like you understand when you've had enough. So that's like good self-kindness and it can give you a positive relationship with yourself. Encourages relaxation and it offers escapism. Okay, immersing yourself in like comforting activities provides this temporary like escape from worries, responsibilities, and daily stressors. And that all sounds great. But the cons are it's temporary. Right? It's temporary relief. So even though in the moment it might feel really good, it's short term, okay? But it may not address underlying issues or provide long lasting solutions to problems, okay? One example there would be like you know, eating cookies. In the moment, it feels really good and comfortable and enjoyable, but it's probably not going to help you long term. Okay. Now, there is risk of overindulgence of self-comfort activities. So when you rely too heavily on these self-comfort behaviors without addressing the underlying issues, this can lead like to avoidism or escapism, which can be fun sometimes, right? But this is exactly what can hinder your personal growth, okay? It may become a coping mechanism, okay? In some cases, self-comfort activities can evolve like into unhealthy coping mechanisms, such as eating too much, okay, or seeking out, you know, too much alcohol or maybe substance abuse. But I see this a lot with food, okay, you know, and I did it a lot with food. My big thing was chocolate chip cookies. Whenever I felt stressed, worried, unhappy, the first thing I went to in my brain was like, well, I'll just bake some cookies. I love to bake. No, I just like to eat cookies. I do like to bake, but it's because I like to eat it. Right. And so that became like this coping mechanism for the longest time. And, you know, honestly, as you know, if you've been following me, that ended up being a major issue for me. And then I was way overweight. And then that's when I learned all about, I better get into self-care more than this self-comfort business. So anyway, the other con is that, like I said, it doesn't address root causes. And it can also lead to guilt or shame. So some people may actually feel guilty or feel shameful after indulging in these self-comfort activities, especially if they perceive them as unproductive or self-indulgent, okay? And then, like I said before, it's lack of growth is one of the biggest cons to always relying on your self-comfort when things get tough, okay? So you got to get out of your comfort zone because that is where growth happens. But keeping in mind, it's okay to have some self-comfort, right? We got to be nice to ourselves and love ourselves and know when enough is enough, but we also don't want to get stuck in this position of constantly, making ourselves feel comfortable. You'll never get in better shape if you just give up every time you start to feel winded, right? Or you'll never get stronger if you, you know, start to go into heavier weights and then you're like, oh, that's uncomfortable and I always go back. Okay. So it's like, we have to push past our comfort zone to see growth and to move forward in life, but we need to know when enough is enough and listen to ourselves. So I'm just going to share you some of my favorite self-practice activities. So drinking water, okay? Do I really want to drink water all day long? No. Do you know that I love Diet Pepsi? Like I love Diet Pepsi, but I only drink one a day or half a day. Depends. Like at dinner, Brian and I share a Diet Pepsi, but I only allow myself to have that Diet Pepsi if I've hit the limit of water that I need to have hit at that point of the day. And it was so funny. I shared this with a client and she was shocked. She was like, what? You drink Diet Pepsi? I laughed. I'm like, yep, I sure do. Because 98% of the time I'm drinking water whether I want it or not, because I know that water is going to make me feel better. It's going to help with my heart. It's going to help with my blood flow. It's going to help, you know, flushing toxins. It's so important. So I do it whether I want to or not. That is self-care. I eat balanced meals 90% of the time. Okay. Like it just is what it is. Like I make sure I have protein, I have vegetables, I have healthy carbs, I have healthy fat because I want to eat balanced. And I know that that is when I feel the absolute best, even if I'd rather have donuts. You know what? It's like I spend 90% of the time eating what I know I need to eat, whether I want to or not, because ultimately it makes me feel the best I can. I do sleep 7 to 9 hours. Okay. And there are nights where I don't get that, but not because I didn't try. There are nights that, you know, sleep just is harder to come by. There are weekends where you're out of town. There's things happening that sometimes it just doesn't happen perfectly, but I absolutely make it a priority to get in bed to at least have the rest. So I do my best there. Workouts, man, I get at least 3 days of strength a week. And then some cardio, but a daily walk, 30 to 60 minutes. Sometimes it's a 30 minute in the morning, sometimes a 30, and then a 30 minute walk at night. Sometimes it's a 60 minute right in the middle of the day. It depends on what my day looks like, but there's always a daily walk outdoor if I can make that happen. Okay. Unless it's pouring rain, then I'll do a treadmill. But these are things, you know, some days I don't want to do it. But that's the beauty of self-care and making it a habit. Because once it's done, I'm so, so happy I did it. The other thing is taking supplements. I got to be honest. I hate when I go to bed at night and I just get comfortable and I'm like, oh man, I forgot to take my night supplements. And those are my most important ones as far as like for my Hashimoto's, the ones that I take then. And, you know, it's so easy to be like, I'm just going to skip it. But I don't. I get up, get my big butt out of my bed, and I go into the kitchen and I get those supplements because I know in the long run it's going to be best for me. And then finally, gluten and dairy-free most of the time. Now, I will tell on myself, this past weekend, we went to the Masters Golf Tournament, which was an awesome invite, such a fun time. And if you've ever been, then you know that there's pretty much nothing but pimento cheese sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches, everything's on bread, so much dairy, so much gluten, and so much alcohol. And I will admit, I had a choice. I did take some protein bars and I had a choice and I decided to go self-comfort on this. I was like, you know what? This is like one of those times where I'm just going to go with the flow with everybody. And I did eat pimento cheese sandwiches. So gluten and dairy in one, one sandwich. And here's the deal. I'm paying for it. My joints are killing me. My skin is breaking out and yeah, I don't feel very good today. So but I made that choice. But guess what? The self-comfort took over the self-care and I'm paying for it. So sometimes self-comfort, even though it can be nice in the moment, isn't always nice later. Okay. So anyway, I will tell you some of my self-comfort practices that I do indulge in. I love Netflix. I do watch TV at night. I try to turn off the TV and go to sleep, but oftentimes we do watch TV all the way up till bedtime. And I know that's kind of a no-no for nighttime, right? You're not supposed to watch screens or whatever, but I do that. And hot showers. I know that cold showers are supposed to be so great for you. And for a while I would end my showers with the cold and I stopped doing that because I don't like it. I like a hot shower from the moment I get in until the second I get out. I eat chocolate daily. I don't care. Like if I don't eat chocolate daily, I have a feeling I'd be eating a lot worse. It's definitely part of my day. Wine. So here's the deal with wine. I am trying to cut back because I'm realizing that I'm actually, I think, craving wine, not for relaxation, but maybe for the actual sugar, meaning I need to eat more during the day. So I've been really working on that, just as a side note. I've been adding more just regular carbs in my day. And truthfully, I'm not having that same like craving for wine that I was. And it's really funny because I've coached this to other people for a really long time, but I slowly was slipping into not eating enough carbs, which later in the day was making me either want sugar or wine, which kind of same thing, sugar, wine, kind of same diff. But anyway, just want to say that I do indulge in wine occasionally because I really enjoy it. Okay, so here's your homework. You know, I love to give you homework. So I want you to get a journal or piece of paper, or just if you're just walking right now listening to this, I want you to think about it. What self-care practices do you think you need to add to your life? Write it out. Like, what do you need? When you think about your day, what do you think you need to do based on everything you've heard, read, and know about health, okay, from a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, all of the things? When you think about your total wellness, what self-care practices, remember self-care is sometimes going to take discipline and you may not want it in the moment, but it's going to have good, you know, later good benefits. So what do you think you need to add to your life? And once you write that down right next to it, what is the biggest obstacle around that? Like, why are you not already doing it? So for example, maybe it's like getting to sleep. Maybe you need more sleep. What, you know this. Let's just be like, I know I need more sleep. So then ask yourself, why are you not getting the sleep? Is it because what? Are you watching too much TV? Do you need a better routine? Do you need to take some supplements? Do you, you know, what's going on? Is it hormonal? Like, and really work it out. Like, grab a journal, write it out, because you know the answer. You really do. You really know the answer. We all know the answer. We just a lot of times don't want to face it. And the sooner you could get to the answer, the sooner you can make the little tweaks, and the sooner you'll be better at that self-care practice habit. Okay. And then finally, like, what self-comfort practices do you need to limit or manage better? Okay. So like for me, wine was getting a little out of control. And so I did this. I'm like, what's going on? Like, why do I want wine? Like, I even was like, gosh, do I just not like my husband anymore? And so I covered everything I could think of. I'm like, why am I drinking so much wine? Like, maybe it's because I'm bored and I just like to numb myself. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And then that's when I discovered, wait a minute, I actually think it's more about my nutrition than it is about like my emotional habit of drinking wine. And it's just fun to drink wine, but like, I don't need to be drinking wine every day. You know what I'm saying? So what self-comfort practices do you need to do to work on? You know, maybe you need to push a little harder in your workouts. Like, what if you just try next time to push a little harder instead of like always like backing up to the modified version? Or maybe, you know, you need to set more boundaries. Like, what is it? Just write it out, think about it. And then you know what? If you're willing, I'd love to hear from you, because it's so fun when you guys do these little homework suggestions that I give you and then let me know, because a lot of times you guys are sending me messages saying, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought of it this way. Thank you. And I just love that, because you know, I love to help. So anyway, self-care versus self-comfort, there is a difference. We need to really work on the self-care, but also filter in appropriate self-comfort. Thank you guys so much for being here. And if you get a moment, I'd really, really appreciate it if you would either share the podcast with your friends. You could take a screenshot of your phone right now and post it on your Instagram or Facebook, or even if you could just follow or maybe rate and review. That would be so awesome. I so appreciate it. And I will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast today. Remember, while we've explored incredible tips and insights, none of this is to replace personalized medical advice. Always chat with your trusted physician or healthcare professional before making changes based on what you've heard today. Stay inspired, stay curious, and keep striving for that balanced, fit, and free lifestyle. Until next time, take care and keep thriving.